I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast, where this week we are Man United v Arsenal with brilliant, brilliant guests this week and Andrew Ryan. And Natalie Sawyer isn't here at the moment. She's off somewhere else doing one of her many jobs in the day. But we do, of course, have Will Mellor representing Man United. Hello, Will.
Hello, mate.
Your second time on Glory Hunters.
Yeah, I feel experienced now.
Oh, you're an experienced...
Ready to go.
Like a wise head in the centre of midfield.
And I'm finally representing my club, so I'm positive.
Oh, exactly. Where were you last time?
I was with a German Schalke.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know nothing about Schalke, but I had a lovely time.
And representing Arsenal and EastEnders and his boxing podcast is Jake Wood.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in,
Jake. Johnny, yeah.
Have you listened to Glory Hunters before? Did you listen to the Schalke?
Did you listen
to the Schalke episode?
It.
The classic Schalke episode.
I will go back and listen. As soon as I leave this studio.
If you're going to listen to one episode, listen to the Schalke episode with Will Mellor, the biggest Schalke fan in town.
He looks it. He's dressed in completely German dress.
I think someone said he's an absolute Schalke. I think that's what they said. Anyway, here is the podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Our guests are given the chance to represent the team they've always supported in a contest where only the strongest survive. But who will climb football's evolutionary ladder and who will become extinct? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Now, after last week's international special, today sees our first second round match. And what a fixture it promises to be as Arsenal take on Man United. Captaining Man United today is Andrew Ryan. Hello, Andrew.
Great to be back again.
You've been in Berlin this week.
I was in Berlin on Monday, Tuesday doing some shows, yeah.
With Glory Hunters' own Christian Schulte-Lohr.
Yeah, the Schalke fan.
Big Schalke fan.
Do you remember the Schalke episode?
We all remember the Schalke episode.
That was.
It was fantastic. I think Will was on that. We'll ask him about it in a minute.
No, Berlin's a lovely place. I'm a big history fan. It's great history over. Not great history, just history there. I wouldn't say it's great. There's a bit of history.
There's some history there,
but it's not great. If you're a history fan, it's a good place to go.
Moving on, also, some exciting news for you.
Yes.
I believe you've been linked as a player to Portsmouth FC.
Correct and right, yeah.
How has this come about? I didn't know you were so high up in the professional game.
Okay, so what happened was last week I got a phone call of Joe Gallen, the assistant manager of Portsmouth, and asked me would I come down next Tuesday for them to have a look at me. So I'm going down next Tuesday, 37 years old.
Come
and get me now. I know the transfer window. So what's happened is, I swear to God, next Tuesday I'm going into Portsmouth. He's asked me would I come down. I said, you never give up on your dreams. I haven't played football for 22 years, okay. But do you ever know you can still do a job?
You think you could in the midfield?
Can still do
or?
A job. And I'm right back.
Right back.
Yeah, I'm the Gary Neville of football.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to overlap? Or?
No, I'll just probably just stay in my position, really.
Have you got boots?
Yeah, no. Can we get back to the real story?
The real story, yeah. Yeah, what's happened is that I was doing a gig and Joe Gallen was in the audience, right? Ah. And I found out he was in the audience, so I Wikipedia'd him and I realised that he actually played with my cousin. When they played the League of Ireland, my cousin was at Blackburn, and he knew Kevin Gallen, his other brother.
Oh, yes.
So what's happened is they've asked me would I come down and watch train.
Oh,
so instead of playing, but I can still spin it that I've been invited to training with Portsmouth, right?
Bring your boots.
I'll bring my boots, but he said I'll go down Tuesday to watch training, and he said he might chuck me in at the end.
Yeah, turn up
just to have a look.
Full
so
kit.
How
Andrew.
Many people say they've been called up by a mid-table league one side? You know what I mean?
Turn up, full kit.
I don't think any of us can say that.
Yeah, but I'm delighted. That's the way I've spun it, that I'm going training with Portsmouth.
But you have previously captained Luton and Brighton. Today, you get to captain the club you actually support, Man United.
Yes, finally. I'm very excited to support Man United since we're on the up again. We had a good victory there over Tottenham. very impressed with some of the performances of the players, especially Fred.
Yes.
Finally turned up to a football match.
Well, let's bring in your fellow fan today, your teammate, the wonderful Will Mellor. You were with us last time in the classic Schalke episode.
Yeah, man, it was strange that. I didn't know anything about Schalke, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to contribute. But I managed somehow.
You managed to bring it on.
I did.
Big Man United fan, Will.
Huge, yeah, all my life, you know, I mean, born and bred. You know, my dad supported United when I was born, so I think I had a Man United bib, you know what I mean? So I was all the way through. So when we were mid-table, you know what I mean? So I wasn't just there glory hunting. I'm part of it from
when
the beginning.
When you say bib, you don't mean like...
No, I don't mean a training like bib. I mean sick on bib as
oh,
a baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Now, was it nice to see Jose back at Old Trafford in the week?
Fabulous, especially to see him come and lose at Old Trafford was great. I mean, you know what Jose is like. You know, he can say all the nice things, but of course he wants to win. He's the manager of Tottenham now, so of course he should want to win. Yeah, I mean, it was more important that we got a performance out at United, and I was over the moon. It was the best we've played all season. Yeah. Attitude was great, and what I saw is the team playing for their manager. So all these questions about Pochettino coming in, which I think is bang out of order, when, you know, Solskjaer's not been in the job that long, not been through a transfer window, I think that shut a few mouths, and I think the players shown that they want to play for their manager. So they're really putting a good performance.
So you can see Ole getting the transfer window.
Well, we need to spend money. Obviously, we need a lot of players because our bench is weak. We haven't got a big squad. And we need some experience for the young lads to look up to and know how to... Sometimes you need to win games ugly, and I don't think United can do that. We've been ahead a few times this season, and we just let results slip away from us. Too many draws. And, you know, game management, you get that from experience, and we've got some fantastic young players, but they do need a few experience being put in amongst them.
But Rashford's found some form as well, that's good, isn't it?
Well, we've got lots of pace, we've got lots of winning legs, and the thing with young players is they will run and run and run for you. It's just knowing when to do what, and as I say, game management, and I think... You know, get a few decent experienced players in there, especially in the midfield. You know, I'd give Maguire the captain's armband right now and stop passing it about the club, and let's get him settled as that, because I think he's captain material. But, you know, I would stick with what we've got. This season is not going to be a season where we're going to be finishing in the top four, I don't think. But it's just a building season. Get our style of play back and bring in some players and then see where we are next season.
Now, leading out Arsenal today is Natalie Sawyer. Hello, Natalie.
Hello, Charlie.
And you've come in.
How formal of you.
I've been very formal because I feel like you've come in with a massive brag today. I've got a different Christmas jumper every single day.
I have.
Haven't you, Natalie? You've come in with that showing off attitude.
I know, it's true.
And then both Jake and Will called you on that and said, what, you've got 24 Christmas jumpers, 25 Christmas jumpers? No one believed you, Natalie.
No one believes me. But I actually have more because I every year buy more Christmas jumpers. I just love them.
Oh, Lord.
I know.
Do you think it's
I
a
do.
Problem or?
It probably is.
Yeah.
The problem is that I only wear them once a year.
Yeah. What do you wear on Christmas Day? Yes. Aren't you jumper dad?
Well, no, because I have that many. Plus, I might,
you
might treat
have a special
myself.
One
I might
Christmas
treat myself to a Christmas outfit.
Special oh,
Christmas
full one. Outfit, top and bottoms.
Well, I'm not saying anything, but you
I've
never
got,
know.
I've got the best Christmas jumper.
All right.
It's just a picture of Mike Tyson, and it says, Merry Christmas.
Oh, lovely.
And I've worn that every year. I'm not going to buy another one, actually. I've worn that about 4 years in a row.
Natalie, have you got that one?
I haven't got that one, no. I can't believe
jumper envy on the other side of the table.
I know. It's all right. But I do like the ones that have lights and play music.
That's what I've got this year. I've got lights on mine this year.
Yeah, they're good.
Do you have lights like outside your apartment, like on the road? Are you one of these people that goes full-on dark irrations as well?
In my home, I do like to go full-on, but not outside so much.
Right, okay.
I look like I live in Elf's house. My house is just full of lights. Not yet, because I don't do it till the 12th. It's 12 days before, 12 days after. That's what I do. But people come...
There's quite a lot of rules there, Will. I'm quite surprised.
Yeah, well,
how Christmas like Eve
it stops the kids from mithering me from the 1st of December. When the light's going up, it's like 12th. You know what it is? It's the 12th. And it gets me to build up to it because it's quite a big day out there on the 12th.
Oh, you should do it.
That's good.
I just surprise everyone.
Totally
no, well, people bring the kids and everything to the house and we have it all up, everything up. Oh. Yeah, we've got smoke machines and all sorts.
Oh, wow.
Smoke machines.
Yeah, only because I got one for Halloween, so I'm going to use it for Christmas as well. Halloween's the same. I get it all kitted out, graveyard, everything for all the kids in the morning.
I learned something new this morning about Will Mellor. It's very, very exciting.
All about the community.
Now, the other voice you heard there, very excited to have him on today, is actor, Arsenal fan and boxing podcaster and expert, Jake Wood. Hello, Jake.
How are you, Charlie? Yes, very good.
I thought I'd add the boxing because that sort of explains the Mike Tyson jumper.
It does, yeah. I'm a big boxing fan. So, I started a podcast about 2 years ago with my best mate, Spencer Oliver, who works for Sky. We've been doing it about 2 years, pound for pound. We're doing all right. We've had like Fury on and...
doing more than all right. It's everybody's favourite boxing podcast.
Well, it seems so, yeah. But, it's, you know, we just love sitting around talking about boxing.
Now, Jake, you don't just love boxing. You're a massive Arsenal fan. Yes. How is it to be an Arsenal fan right now?
What can I say? I think we're in free fall at the moment. I mean, I watched the Frankfurt game. I watched it with my little boy. And we were laughing at the team. It's embarrassing, isn't it, to think it's got to that point. Probably the worst performance I've seen from Arsenal in 10 years, I want to say, that performance. In fact, I tweeted out straight after the game, Unai out. I think he has been good for the club, but I just think he's lost his way. I think some of the decisions he was making, you know, we had a great bench that night, you had Lacazette, and, you know, I just think he's making the wrong decision. So, for me, it's reached the end of the road with Unai. Wish him well. I think he took the decision with great grace, then he gave a lovely sort of statement afterwards and thanks everyone.
Thanks for the millions of pounds.
I think he is a gentleman. You know, I've got a lot of respect for him, but just the wrong man probably for the job.
Do you think that game as well, the fans shown what they thought, because it was, I've never seen...
Well, there's no one there.
I've never seen Arsenal that empty in my life.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it was that Frankfurt fans couldn't go, could they? They're banned from the stadium for the next, I think it's two games, wasn't it? So that's part of it. But yeah, you're right, I've never seen it so empty. It was...
Do you think that was a statement from the Arsenal fans to say, no, we don't want to watch this anymore?
I think maybe, yeah. You know, Europa League, you know, we miss that Champions League, you know. Absolutely miss it. So,
do you think it's time for Wenger in?
Not on my watch.
No, you're obviously a man of many talents, not just football and boxing. We obviously know you from EastEnders as well as Max Branning. I think I associate you with Christmas because you always seem to be in massive trouble at Christmas.
Yeah, always nearly.
Not you, but
jumping
Max.
Off the Queen Vic. It's always an emotional time for Max Branning. So. I've been there 14 years and, been involved in some big stories. So, yeah, it's always fun.
When you get the scripts for Christmas, do you sort of flick through and see who's going to get the big...
Yeah, everyone big always goes to the end of the script. Yeah. See who gets the duff, yeah.
But you can't tell us anything about Christmas, can you?
Because I can't, I mean, we've just filmed it. It's amazing. And, yeah, the scripts are great. So, hopefully, everyone will enjoy them. And then we're sort of building up. We've got the 35th anniversaries in February. It's 35 years of the show, so those, obviously, they always go with a big bang then as well, so we're looking forward to filming those.
Brilliant. Right, the scene is set for Arsenal v Man United, a fixture famous in the past for brawls, bad blood and the Battle of the Buffet, similar to a lot of Plymouth weddings I've been to. Right now, it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
Yes, it's My Club's Bigger Than Your Club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. However, it's not about medals on the table. It's an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Jake, Natalie, you're going to go first. And your 30 seconds starts now.
We've got the better fans. I think that's representative of who we've got in the room today. You only have to take a look and of who you've got in front of you and the people you've got here today. Arsenal are based in London. Now, I'm not saying London is better than Manchester, but London is London, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's the home of EastEnders. There you go. We've probably got the highest percentage of fans not from Kent, to be fair. This is unlike Man United. We've got 13 FA Cups. They've only got 12. So until that changes, I'll always remind them of that. And there's no debate. I think I've just systematically put it to bed there.
There we are. Natalie, do you agree?
Well, how can you beat a team that's called Arsenal? They've got an arsenal.
No.
You know? They are the best.
We're going to go over to Manchester United with Will and Andrew. Will, why are Man United a bigger club than Arsenal?
I'm going to flip this on its head a bit. It's not because we sell more shirts than any other club in the world. It's not because we've won the league 20 times. It's not because we sell out our 70,000 plus stadium every week. It's not because we've won the treble. It's not because of the Busby Babes. This is because in 1999, when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored that goal in the 90th minute onto Matt Busby's 90th birthday, we realised then that even God supports United, because that's divine intervention. I don't need to say any more than that.
He said it.
That's your argument.
Yeah, well, I tell you something. You just said you've the best fans. How many fans turned up to the Frankfurt game there last week?
Oh, so we're more in number. I just said we're...
Oh, more in number.
Yeah,
all right.
It's about quality, not quantity.
No, I can't top that. I think we'll just put that absolutely sweet.
Listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
I'm going to invite each member of the panel to propose an idea they believe will improve sport for the better, an idea that may well shatter convention and ignite the fury of the traditionalists. So, while the teams lay waste to some sporting sacred cows, I'll be awarding points for radical ingenuity and progressive persuasion. I'd also like to add, sacred cows is a metaphorical term and no animals were harmed in the recording of this show. Natalie, we're going to start with you, as you're the captain of the losing team at the moment. And you think there should be a British and Irish Lions football team.
I do, when there is obviously no tournaments. I know World Cup, no Euros. The summer can be pretty boring when there's no football. So why don't we incorporate the very best British and Irish Lions together, playing in a tournament that they can go to different continents and take on the very best from those continents? You know, rugby is successful with their British and Irish Lions. We all look forward to that. It'll get us all looking forward to a combination of, as I say, the very best from Britain and Ireland. You could see them playing club teams for warm-up matches, so we keep that going for a little bit until we build up to the actual final event of whichever continent they decide to take on. It's another football tournament for us all to get involved in, for us all to get excited about. It means more international players get more experience of playing in tournament football, and it forges closer ties between nations as well, and it's going to showcase the very best talent from Ireland and Britain. It's a no-brainer.
I think it's a brilliant idea because it gives them something else to reach for. Yeah. Even when they've reached the heights of playing in a World Cup or the Euros, yeah. And it does fill that blank year, which, I mean, people will say, well, footballers get tired, they play too many games.
But, stop.
You know, maybe a couple of weeks, a tour of Brazil, say.
Exactly.
It'd be fantastic. Anyone else agree with you? Do you think it's a good idea, Andrew?
I think it's a very good idea. Don't they do the Great Britain football team in the Olympics, though?
Yeah, but won't with Ireland as well.
I think that would be good. You could have like Great Britain and Ireland versus like South America best 11.
Yes, there we are.
North America best 11. You know what I mean?
It's the next exactly. Why has no one done it? Natalie.
There's a lot of people like to have holidays. The only footballers go, can't be bothered, I'll go on holiday, take a break.
Short career, isn't it?
I know, but you know what they're like, you know what I mean? They're never happy, are they? They're getting paid a fortune. They're all, have you met them? A lot of them are miserable.
Natalie, I really liked it, and it's my quiz, so I'm giving you three goals. So there we are. Yay. Andrew, you think footballers should only get paid if they win?
Yes, and you know the way now you have, if you work in an insurance industry, you get paid commission if you do a deal. And I think with footballers nowadays, they seem to have it too easy, you know, 40, 50 grand a week. They may be injured, the team may lose 3 or 4 nil. They're still picking up their wages. Mm-hmm. I think we need to have a little bit more fight back into the game. So, for example, if you're a Watford footballer and you've played 15 games and you've lost 14, you know, you're probably living in a Tesco car park or something like that because you've no money coming in. Therefore, the incentive is there for them to actually, you know, start winning and playing for the jersey. Because
No wages at all?
No wages at all. Whereas if you're you're Liverpool and you're top of the league, you've played 15 and you've won 14, you could get a bit of complacency coming in there, you know what I mean? Because what would happen then is, you know, they think, oh, you know, we're making loads of money, everything's fine, so we can try and like balance it up a little bit. Yeah. And I think it'd be more exciting to only get wages if your team wins, and you get, and if the game is drawn, money goes to charity.
Oh. This seems to me like no one's getting paid.
No one's getting paid here. No. No. But I think it's only wages when you win.
I think it'd be illegal though, wouldn't it? Because they'd be like, it's like a 0 hours contract.
It is. But that's in line with the rest of the community.
They've still done their job, haven't they? They've still turned up and done their job.
Yeah, but they haven't done it particularly very well.
So they should be like on a couple of hundred quid a week basis.
They should be on a retainer. They should get free meals and a bus to the stadium and a kit and stuff like that.
All right.
You know what I mean? But I think it should be based on commission.
So Norwich have got 1 point this season.
Yeah.
So all that money would have gone to, the money they did make would have gone to charity. Anyway.
Would have gone to charity, yeah, and then those players would probably end up in the food banks themselves, you know what I mean?
No, so, we don't want that.
So. I think it balances it out.
Because all they do is they drop down division and play for someone they were going to get paid for because they didn't know they were going to win.
Yeah, but you'd be on much lesser wages in the First Division or the League One or League Two, wouldn't they?
Do you know the best people to ask is Portsmouth when you go next week? Yeah, see if they're up for that.
Yeah. Suggest that.
Yeah, well, I'm training with the professional football team next week.
Very good point, Natalie.
Thank you.
I think they should only get paid if they win.
I think this is a really rubbish point.
But that's the whole point of this Sporting Heretics, is to come up with a bad idea.
I'm going to give you one goal. Yeah. I'm going to give you one goal.
You've killed us.
Jake, extra time. You think there should be a man off every 3 minutes?
Yeah, now this is based on the old, you know, when you used to play football in the park, Then you play with all your mates. You've got two quite equal teams. Then someone like someone's mum calls like little Jimmy. He goes off. Yeah. Then you're down to four. It's not 5-4. And then and then you got the other brothers. They got to go because their dinner's ready.
Yeah.
And then you get and then eventually it starts to get dark, doesn't it? And then it's eventually just you and your mate.
Who's allowed to stay out?
Yeah, yeah. You're just running at each other and you're going mental. Yeah. There's loads of goals. Yeah, just like, getting the ball over his head every like 2 minutes. Maybe brilliant. Loads of goals.
Part of it as well. Someone's mum could turn up.
Yeah.
And drag them off.
Yeah, why not?
They could start slowly turning the floodlights down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As it goes on.
Or they come off and their mum is there with their dinner waiting for them and they've got to eat their dinner. Yeah.
That's a lovely
idea. And it'd be really interesting because if you've got to take a player off every 3 minutes, you take off a defender first, you take off midfield, you take off the attack. Do you leave your attacker on to last?
You know. Is this just an extra time?
Yeah, just extra time. Yeah,
how much extra time have you got? Usually it's only 3 minutes.
Well, 3 minutes, 11 players for half an hour, isn't it? Yeah, and then you'd be down. You'd be down to two players. It's got to be a goal eventually, isn't it? And the first one to score.
I think it's a genuine alternative to go into penalties.
Yeah, first one to score.
Would you leave on a goalkeeper, or would you leave on like really tricky striker?
Well, this is it. It'd be real interesting, wouldn't it?
Do you know what would be good as well if you had jumpers for goalposts? Then you started getting rid of, and you started changing the ball, and like,
you don't want to pay anyone. Don't know what
you put the jumpers closer and closer and closer and closer together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nods and volleys. Just pick nods and volleys. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm open to all these ideas. So, but it's just, you know, it takes it back to those very simple days of being in a park with your mates. I think people would enjoy watching it.
I liked it. People would enjoy watching it. I'm going to give it 2 goals. It was very, very good. Will, you think that in the last 10 minutes, you tell us what you think.
I'm bringing a bit of the basketball mentality into football.
Yeah, nice.
In the last 10 minutes, if you score from outside the box, it counts as 2. So say if you're 2-0 down, it's 10 minutes to go, there's still something to play for.
Yeah.
Because you, and also you start bringing on all the people that can really strike a ball. Game on, 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Everyone, Bex is still be playing. Just get Bex on just to whip some shots
in. Like in American football, they bring on specialist kickers.
Specialist kickers.
Outside the box.
You know what? It just keeps the game. It's not over. Really is. 2 minutes to go. You score 2 goals, that's 4 goals from outside the box.
It would stop people leaving.
Yeah.
And exciting goals. And how good are the goals going to be?
Yeah.
Min goals, top goals. It'd be exciting.
Three points perhaps if the goalkeeper scores from his own box.
You're going too far now.
Too far. I've pushed it too far.
Or there's another thing you could do as well is when you get a penalty, you get a choice. You can take it from the penalty spot. If you score, you get 1 goal, or you can take it from just on the edge of the D. And if it goes in, you get 2 points, but you're another 12 yards away.
Last time you played this game, you had a brilliant...
Sin bins for people if you fouled someone and they had to go off, you had to go off while they was off. That's true, that should happen.
That was a very good idea.
Penalties from the centre spot, and then you've got like 10 seconds.
When you start to run out the goal.
Yeah, you should do that.
I think the D or the penalty spot, you get a choice, and you go, right, do you want to do the penalty spot where you've got more chance, or do you want to go from the edge of the D?
Yeah. Get the 2 goals.
Yeah, but you get 2 goals.
Oh, Will, you've shown yourself to be a big thinker about the game.
I didn't sleep last night.
And because of that, I feel like although it's a 3-goal max on this, I'm going to give you 4 goals. Because it was such a good idea.
Thank you very much.
I think that's allowed. We'll find out later on.
How are they getting paid, though?
Time one over here. Everyone's
Andrew, OK, I'll tell you what. If you lose today, if you lose Glory Hunters today, we won't get paid.
That's fine.
Is that OK with you?
So, at the end of that round, the scores are Man United 9, Arsenal 7.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
This is the podcast of Glory Hunters from TalkSport. Here on Glory Hunters, we believe that people should have their say, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face the scrutiny of the general public, and I've absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Yes, could we have our first question, please?
Hello, guys. I'd like to ask the panel, what was your lowest moment as a sports fan?
What was your lowest moment as a sports fan? Will, we'll come to you first.
It's tough, this, because there's one that really done me in as a kid. It's boxing. And it was when Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, because I had him as an invincible person, and I honestly worshipped every fight. I used to get all my hairs would stand up on my arms, like when he was coming into the ring. No nonsense, never wore a robe, just a towel ripped open and threw over his shoulders, no socks, and it would just strike fear into you through the telly. And when I got up, because obviously it was on early hours in the morning, and I got up and my dad told me he'd been beat by Buster Douglas. I just couldn't register it. And I remember I was just thinking, and every time I watched the fight, I couldn't watch it when he was picking the gum shield up, because this man I thought was invincible. He was a machine. And it absolutely devastated me as a kid, because now he wasn't invincible anymore. And I just, do you know when you put people on pedestals as kids, don't you? So there was another one when Man City beat United, battered us, but that I can't give them the benefit of celebrating my tears. But no, the Mike Tyson defeat to me to Buster Douglas was a real shocker.
You've painted a very depressing picture there.
But it was,
how I can imagine when your hero fails, you know, and it really teaches you a life lesson. I'm going to give you 3 goals for that, Will. It was an excellent answer.
Thank you.
Jake Wood, we're coming to you. What was your lowest moment as a sports fan?
As a massive Arsenal fan, I have to say Arsenal-Barcelona 2006, Stade de France, Paris, Jens Lehmann got sent off, and then Sol Campbell got us a goal towards the end of the first half, and then it all went to pot, and then at 10 men against Barcelona, massive ask for the team, wasn't it? Henrik Larsson came on, absolutely battered us, set up 2 goals. Yeah, I don't think I've ever quite got over it, to be honest.
I'm going to give you 3 goals. It was to try and cheer you up, Jake. This is how it is. Andrew Ryan.
So there's moments in life, you know, where people always say to you, where were you when such a thing happened? So where were you when, like, the Berlin Wall fell? Yeah. It's always bad stuff, you know. But to me, the worst moment happened to me at 12 minutes past 6 in the morning, right, in 2002, when it was announced that Roy Keane was leaving the World Cup squad.
Oh, yes.
We haven't qualified for a World Cup since 2002. We've qualified for the European Championships, right? And I was 20 years of age, and obviously with the time difference in Japan and Korea, the games were on early in the morning, and I was working in an office, and I remember getting woken by my alarm at 6 o'clock, and the radio would come on, these old radios. Now, this was before smartphones and all that. It was announced that there was Roy Keane had left the World Cup squad, and I got out of bed, and it created in Ireland what today is still known as the Second Civil War. Were you Mick McCarthy or were you Roy Keane? Now, being from Cork, I was Roy Keane. My brother was Mick McCarthy. Oh. Okay?
It's like
West Side Story. It split the household up. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but over 3,000 people marched in the centre of Cork.
No.
Google it. 3,000 people marched in the centre of Cork City for Roy Keane.
Were you one of them?
I went down, I saw the march, but I didn't take part in the start, right? To ask for Roy Keane to be reinstated to the World Cup. No, anyway, this furore would put Ireland into a world stage of absolute scandal when, you know, we're going to a World Cup. We had a great squad. We had Damien Duff. Mm. We had Kevin Kilbane, otherwise known as Zinedine Kilbane.
Yeah.
Right? We had Gary Breen, Kenny Cunningham.
Oh, yeah. The great
Shea Given, Robbie Keane up front with Niall Quinn's back.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, we had everything, right? We had Jason McAteer. We had Matty Holland. We had all these. And imagine if we had Roy Keane in that centre of midfield. And it was a poor
some
World Cup.
Some of those
Cup.
People were actually Irish.
Yeah, some of those people were actually Irish. Right? Now, we lost to Spain in penalties in the second round. And it's always one of these things that what would have happened if he'd have played? Yeah. Now, he could have conceded two own goals against Cameroon and we would have went out in the first stage. He could have got injured in the second game. He could have got sent off. We'll never know. And to me, because we haven't qualified for a World Cup since, that chapter still hasn't closed.
Andrew, so again, three goals.
Thank
just
you.
Trying to cheer everyone up. Natalie, we come to you. What's the worst you've ever felt as a sports fan?
Well, obviously, it's about time I bring up Brentford.
Oh, goodness me. Brentford bell.
The thing is, both Manchester United and Arsenal will not understand the playoffs.
Never had
to suffer the playoffs when it's your bread and butter, the league campaign.
Yeah.
And Brentford have a terrible record when it comes to the playoffs. We've never won a playoff final. We've got to a few, but we've never won one. And the most recent one was in 2015. We've just been promoted and we had a great first season in the Championship, finishing fifth. And we took on Middlesbrough. And then we got hammered 5-1 on aggregate by Middlesbrough in the semi-final.
If there had been two goals from outside the box with 10 minutes to go.
Exactly.
It would have been game on.
It would have been game on.
Exactly.
And hopefully the players didn't get paid either.
Well, Natalie, you're preaching here to someone who has felt playoff defeat several times. Three goals, Natalie. Well done. Can we have our next questioner, please?
Hello. I'd like to ask which hairstyle in sport would the panel most like to have and why?
Andrew Ryan.
Ronaldo, 1998 World Cup. Do you remember he shaved it, but he left a massive
original
chunk of the...
Ronaldo.
Fat Ronaldo.
Fat Ronaldo. Yeah. He left a
chunk just there, and it was really weird.
Yeah.
But do you remember when someone like David Beckham gets a Mohican? Everyone gets a Mohican. Yeah. Then David Beckham shaves his head, everyone gets... You know, there's a trend that kids follow.
So you'd like this haircut.
I was looking at this Ronaldo thing, and I was thinking, is this going to be a trend? And then I realised that everyone was like, no, we're not doing this trend. But I'd still love to do it, you know, just as a one-off.
To be honest, give it a couple of years. By the looks of things, you'll do it anyway, so I wouldn't worry
about
it.
What are you trying to say there, Charlie?
The sunroof's going to be a convertible before.
Are you implying I'm going to be tin on the top, are you?
There we are. Because I was so rude to you, I'm going to give you three goals, Andrew. Jake Wood.
It's a bit of a sore point talking about hair,
I
don't mind answering the question. Jason Benedict Lee, six foot three inch striker of Nottingham Forest and Watford. He had a hairstyle back in the day called the pineapple.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a classic. It was like dreadlocks pulled up to like a tight little bun on the top of the nut.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of like he let them all go loose, didn't he? He used to get teased mercilessly, didn't he, for this, this hairstyle. But I think I read an interview with him and he said he kept the hairstyle purposely because just to fight it. I think he went for a year having hairstyle, not really wanting it, but just to make a point.
I'm going to give you four goals. Will.
Yeah.
What haircut, sporting haircut would you like?
Well, this is actually true. I actually did this when Paul Gascoigne bleached his hair blonde.
Oh, yeah.
I went for a part in Hollyoaks, this new soap that no one had ever heard of because it was this new casting. And I went in and my hair was dark as it is now. And I went in for this part of Kurt. There was like three leads in they were casting for. And I went away and didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks. Went into this caravan holiday in Towie, North Wales, with my sister and saw Gazza's hair and bleached my hair blonde and then got a phone call saying, you got a recall for the casting. I went, my hair's white blonde. So you have to go in anyway. And when I went in there, Phil Redmond saw me and went, Jambo. And went, you should read for Jambo. You look so different. And I got the part because of my hair. So, Gazza, me bleaching my hair blonde.
Anecdote.
Because it's the truth, though.
Yeah.
And because I look so different than everybody else. It was just this bleached blonde northerner come bouncing in, loads of energy, and it just got me noticed, and it changed my life from that moment. That was my break.
Thank you, Gaz. Yeah. And also, got you 5 points.
Thank you
five
very
goals
much.
In this round. Wow. Natalie Sawyer. Who are we going for here?
Gosh, do you know when
Carlos Valderrama?
Well, it's not
too dissimilar. I said that earlier, Valderrama.
It's not too dissimilar. But it's Serena Williams when she sometimes has her hair completely out and it's sort of the afro style. I just adore it.
I think she's the greatest tennis player of all time.
She's a phenomenal athlete, full stop. She's fantastic.
She is.
And
Yeah, I have hair envy when I see the big hair that she has, because my hair isn't really very big.
How big can your hair go? Do you ever boof it right up?
No, I'm not very good with hair anyway, so I wouldn't really style it very well.
You've got a bit of comb here, that's the thing.
You've got to spend a lot of time on that. Yeah. So, no, I have massive hair envy of Serena Williams.
This is the Glory Hunters podcast in association with Monty Panesar Loft Conversions. Don't get in a spin, put a Velux in.
Oh, Monty Panesar!
Jake, pound for pound podcast, tell us a little bit more about it.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's just me and my best mate, Spencer Oliver. As I said earlier, we just get great guests. Spencer knows everyone in the sport, so yeah, we've had...
How's he your best mate? How's that happened?
I used to train with him, and I think I met through someone else, like, years ago. So I've known him just years and years.
Yeah. You used to train. Did you used to box yourself?
I used to box as a kid, yeah. And then I had a massive gap where I sort of chose to be an actor because no one's trying to punch you in the face, obviously.
It depends how bad you are.
I've never been punched in the face deliberately as an actor. So that's a good thing. And then about 3 years ago, I had a white collar fight. So Spencer trained me for that and I went in and...
You won, didn't you? You won,
No,
Jake?
I got a draw. Yeah, it was tough. But I'm such a massive fan of the sport, I wanted to go in and do all the training and just sort of experience everything that a fighter would go, you know, build up to and do all of
that. And how much more respect did you gain for the fighters from doing
that?
Quite
a bit more, yeah. It was terrifying. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done, to be fair. It was quite interesting. Kevin Mitchell, ex-European champion, was there that night. And I spoke to Kevin afterwards and I said, I was really, really terrified going into the ring. And he turned around and said, look, there's never a fight that I had when I wasn't terrified. And it just, it just gave me such an insight into what they do. You know? So I've got such a respect for them.
Have you ever felt fitter than doing that training?
No, yeah. It's the best fitness in the world, yeah. So I'd recommend it to anyone, yeah.
How many rounds, can I ask, did you fight?
We did only three, but to be fair, like, your adrenaline levels and all that is so hard to control it all. Even after one round, you're absolutely gassed.
Nervous energy is the worst thing.
Will, you were saying you've boxed?
I started boxing when I was seven. My dad was a trainer in the gym as well, so my dad boxed and we had bad eyesight. I've got bad eyesight, so I couldn't have really done much. Well, I mean, it's got worse as I got older, but I did exactly the same as Jake. Some acting work came up. I was 12. I wanted to be, and I was training three times a week. My uncle, my dad's brother, actually boxed a guy who went to fight Muhammad Ali.
Right.
I come from a boxing family, so yeah, always been around boxing, and I absolutely adore the sport. Massive respect to everybody who does it. And like Jake says, until you actually get in the ring and try the training, you just haven't got a clue about, you know, how hard it is, the discipline behind it. And as I said about that, you can say three rounds, you think I can fight for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
30 seconds and you start feeling it. It's just the nervous energy as well. When you are nervous is where you tense up.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, you need to be relaxed in the ring, and that's a quiet part of the time where you see Anthony Joshua blowing quite a lot. Any big muscle-bound heavyweights and stuff like that, because, you know, it zaps up a lot of energy.
You do a lot of golf, don't you, Andrew?
A lot of boxing as well. I'm always boxing. Would you believe it? I got a phone call last week off Eddie Hearn. I've got to go down on I've got to go down on Tuesday. They want to have a look at me, you know what I mean? Like, they said I can do a job, you know?
Mash up the two, perhaps golf and
a good friend of mine has had 14 amateur fights, comedian Chris Kent, and doing a white-collar event is something I'd love to do. And it's one of those things, you know, I've done...
Which comedian would you fancy?
Stuff like that, like,
which would you fancy fighting? Who would you fancy?
Who would I like to fight comedians wise?
Yeah.
Oh,
Romesh.
Romesh. maybe Romesh. I don't know.
It's partially sighted. You know, pick someone who's got two clear vision.
Go for the bad eye early.
I'd fight you, Charlie. You fight me, yeah. You would fight.
Different weight groups.
I'll fight the small.
I'm a light heavyweight, and you're actually
cruiser. Cruiserweight. We've come to the final round. In the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Losing side goes first, which by one goal is currently Arsenal, Jake and Natalie. Yeah. Here we go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to list a series of figures from the world of sport and the reality TV shows they've appeared in. All you got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
I don't comment on that. Do I need to say it again?
Do you understand what you got to do?
Yes.
Okay, true or false? Your time starts now. John Fashanu, come dine with me.
True.
It is true. Jimmy Bullard, first dates.
False.
It is false. David Seaman, dancing on ice.
True.
It is true. Robbie Savage, SAS, Who Dares Wins.
False.
It is false. Peter Schmeichel, Strictly Come Dancing.
False.
It's true. Joey Barton, Flog It.
False.
It is false. Willie Thorne, The Real Full Monty.
True.
False.
No, false.
It's true. Martina Navratilova, I'm a Celebrity.
True.
It's true. Sean Dyche, Naked Attraction.
False.
It is false. Carlton Palmer, Hunted.
True.
It's false. Sam Allardyce, Celebrity Apprentice.
False.
It's true. Conor McGregor, Escape to the Chateau.
False.
It's false. Lee Sharp, Love Island. False.
True. True.
It's true. Danny Mills, Celebrity Border Force.
True.
It's false. Darren Goff, Naked Jungle.
False.
It's false. Bruce Grobbelaar, Hell's Kitchen.
True.
It's true. Roy Keane, Cash in the Attic.
False.
It's false. I don't comment on that. Do I need to say it again?
So, well, you did very, very well. At the end of that round, you got 12, which takes you to 37 goals, which means Man United, you need 11 to draw, 12 to win. And I'm going to list a series of football teams from around the world. I need you to tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you will hear this sound.
Louis van Gaal's army!
So you need 12 to win. Are we ready? Your time starts now. Deportivo Moron.
False.
It's true. Naughty Boys.
False.
It's true. Funky Moped.
False.
It is false. Cape Coast Mysterious Ibusa Dwarfs.
True.
It is true. Love Ham.
False.
It's true. Tuppenny Nudgers.
False.
It is false. Golden Bush.
True.
It's true. Ten Pole Tudor.
False.
It is false. Joe Public.
False.
It's true. Inter Godfathers.
False.
It's true. El Baroni.
True.
It's false. Outcast FC.
True.
It's true. Club Scaramanga.
False.
It is false. Barrack Young Controllers.
True.
It's true. The Summer Isle Torches.
True.
It's false. Big Bullets FC.
True.
It's true. Tottenham Hotspur.
True.
It's true. Always Ready.
False.
It's true. Universal Exports.
True.
It's false. Club the Strongest.
False.
It's true.
No!
Sugar Boys.
True.
It's true.
Louis van Gaal's Ice Creams.
Can I just say that was a lot harder than the ones that they had.
At the end of that round, you scored 11 goals, which makes it absolute draw.
Oh, it's a draw.
Honours even. It's unreal. Right. Absolute incredible scenes here at Glory Hunters. Nobody knows what happens except me. I know what happens. Right. So in the event of a draw, we go to my team, which is Torquay United. And I'm going to ask you what the attendance was at the last home game that Torquay United played in, which was Torquay United v Stockport in the National League. The last time we played at home. I want you to write down what you think the attendance was, and then we will see who gets closest. This is in teams.
What are you thinking?
Okay.
Yeah, you happy with that?
We have our answer.
I could be wrong.
We have our answer.
Okay, Natalie and Jake, we'll come to you first.
What, I just turn it round?
Just turn it round and you tell me, and you tell us what you think it is.
3,231.
Man United. Andrew, tell me what you've written down.
2,100.
2,100. It is in between. The actual attendance was 2,659. So Andrew, you said 2,100 in Arsenal. Natalie and Jake, you said 3,231. The attendance was 2,659, which, let me just do my maths. Natalie and Jake, you are 572 out. But Will and Andrew, you are 559 out. Yes! You are 12. By 23 people.
Get in!
By 23 people. Arsenal out of the cup for another year. What positives can you take from that result, Jake?
Nah, we're floundering at the moment. It's no more than I expected.
As winners, we are delighted to be getting paid.
And Natalie, I think it's all you nice folks. So there you go.
To our winners, we say... And for the losers...
Your boys took a hell of a beating. Your boys took a hell of a beating.
My thanks to Natalie, Andrew, Will and Jake. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye.
Absolutely unbelievable scenes here at Glory Hunters. The tightest game, naturally unbelievable, isn't it?
I can't believe it.
You've seen every other game.
I can't believe the narrow loss. That's 20, all I'm gonna,
that, 23 more fans. If Stockport had bought 23 more away
selfish,
fans.
Really.
Very selfish. Away from Stockport, that's how we weren't
telling. We knew there wasn't going to be a lot of away fans.
Yeah. That's what it was, did you? Yeah. There we are. Jake, you disappointed?
Gutted. Oh, wow. Absolutely gutted. Has it ever been a draw on this show?
No.
Really?
First time? We had no idea what was happening.
Wow. Classic Arsenal.
Just remind you, it isn't that, a draw. Yeah. We won. Classic Arsenal trying to get something out of the game when there's nothing left.
There we are. That's it for another week on Glory Hunters. Thanks so much. Do rate and subscribe and review us on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.